Two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. We read the passage which is probably familiar to most of us in 1 John chapter 2, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We can't love both. Can't love the world and love God. The two are mutually exclusive. And so God tells us we can't have the love of the Father in us if we love the world. If any man is a friend of the world, he's the enemy of Christ. And so as we think about that fact, the idea of pleasing God or pleasing self, it's not both. You can't please yourself and please God. You can't. They're mutually exclusive as well. We're either going to do the will of God or we're going to follow our lusts. Those are the two options, living for God or living for our lusts. Now, sometimes our lusts, are pretty respectable. Right, we can have lusts that seem very respectable. But God tells us there are things that don't belong in the believer's life. Let's notice for a moment over in Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians and chapter 5. We'll read there about how we need to be filled with the Spirit. Then we're going to read from Ephesians 4. So Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible tells us here in verse 17, it says, "Wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." God wants us to be filled with the Spirit. The idea here of being controlled by, just like alcohol controls a person and it's given to excess. The Holy Spirit is not ever going to give us to excess, but it is going to help us to do the will of God. And so very important that we are seeking the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in order to have victory in our lives. Now, let's go to chapter 4 of Ephesians and notice verse 17 there. Chapter 4, verse 17, the Bible says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the," what's the next word? "Vanity of their mind." All right, so God says, I don't want you to live like the rest of the world lives. They live in the vanity of their mind, the emptiness of their mind, the purposelessness, living for their lusts. And so God says, I don't want you to live that way. I don't want you to walk that way. Verse 18, this is how they are in their vain situation, having the understanding darkened. In other words, their ability to make decisions of right and wrong are very clouded. But ours aren't, if we know Christ. But he says in verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Now, if we know Christ, we're not alienated from the life of God. That's a blessing. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us. And it goes on to say here in verse 18, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling or without feeling, they're calloused, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is unbridled lust. Unbridled lust, the out of control desires. And so the Bible says, they've given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's excess again, right? Over the top. Uncontrolled. Verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. So in other words, God is telling us right here that sometimes, this is a warning, right? He's saying, don't live this way. Why would the Lord feel the need to say, don't live this way? Because sometimes true believers who know Christ live like they're lost. They live in the lusts of lasciviousness, with greediness to excess. They live like they're alienated from God and without understanding, when the fact of the matter is, if we know Christ, we know the truth. We know the bigger picture, at least most of it. And so notice what he says. Ye have not so learned Christ, verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful, next word, lusts. Lusts. There's that, those desires again. Deceitful desires. And be renewed, this is what God is calling us to do, put off, and then verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And then he gives us some very practical examples of what to put off and what to put on, such as put away lying, speak truth, put away anger, and put away stealing, but rather labor hard so you have something to give, put away corrupt communication, put away bitterness, put on kindness in verse 32, put on kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiveness because of Christ. So who are we going to please? Please God or please self? We are either going to live for God or we're going to live for our lusts. And so we need to have a daily walk with God. A daily walk with God. And let's go to Galatians chapter 5. The key to victory here is the Holy Spirit, right? And us submitting to the Holy Spirit. In our own strength, we are weak, but with Him, we can live godly. We can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So Galatians 5, verse 13, first of all, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. In other words, we have been liberated. Liberated from sin, liberated from damnation, freed to do the will of God. So the Bible says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. That would be lusts, right? But by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So God wants us to love one another and not live selfishly. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Notice it says lusteth. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So, these are mutually exclusive. We can't walk in the Spirit and walk in the flesh at the same time. It doesn't work. It's one or the other. It's a trade-off. You're either going to walk with God, and thereby godly things are going to be a part of your life, holiness. And now, as a Christian, this is a moment-by-moment thing. I can be walking with God, walking in the Spirit, and something can happen, and how I respond in that moment, in that temptation. Maybe it's a temptation to anger. Maybe it's a temptation to lust at some corrupt thing. Whatever it is, the desire of my flesh is going to come knocking all the time. And I want that, you know. And that lust, it pops up so fast. Sin and temptation just pops up. Boom, right there it is, right? We were doing well. We were singing a hymn of praise to the Lord. And boom, there it is, a temptation on our path. Maybe it's something we see. Maybe it's something we hear. Maybe it's a disappointment we just realized happened. Maybe it's something we see on the floor that just got broken. You know, whatever the case is, we're tempted in some way. How are we going to respond? And so, in this lesson today, I want to recognize that our default setting is to follow our lusts. That's our default. Without God, we follow our lusts. We might, we might have our lusts dressed up real nice. And they might look pretty fancy. But they're still our lusts. And you know, we as Christians, we who've maybe grown up in church or, you know, we've been under the preaching of God's word, our lusts can, you know, look pretty sanctified, but they're not, right? They're not. They're not holy. And so, put off. We saw that in Galatians. Put off and put on. Walk in the Spirit. Daily choices. Are we going to walk with God? And so we're going to see four aspects here. Walking with God. We need to meditate on His Word. We need to spend time in prayer. We need to be obeying the Lord, following Him, and depending on Him. And so that's the key to victory. The key to victory isn't, you know, tying a tight string around our finger to say, I'm going to live for Jesus. That's not the key. The key is a daily cultivation of walking with God. I'm going to walk with God. I wake up in the morning, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to meditate on His Word. As I go throughout my day, I'm going to seek God because I need Him throughout my day. I can start the day in the Spirit, walking with God, submitted to the Holy Spirit, and I can face something by 10:30 in the morning that just is a could crash my cart, right? And what choice am I going to make? And so that brings us to some things here. The first thing, when we face temptation, we need to what? Stop. All right? And so we're going to see some practical things here. When we're tempted, I mean, we want to walk with God, right? I mean, does anybody here not want to walk with God? But everybody wants to walk with God. I mean, that should be our desire. If not, man, we need to start right there. We've got a unsurrendered heart. We need to surrender it to the Lord. We need to recognize the great things He's done for us. We just sang about the mercies of God. How great is mercy toward us? You know, that's amazing that God cares for us. He knows us and He still cares for us. I mean, wow. God is loving. He is patient. And so when we face temptation as we will, when I face temptation later today, or even in the next few minutes, how am I going to handle it? There's two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. I'm either going to live for my lusts or I'm going to live to do the will of God. I'm either going to respond to this difficult situation or temptation. I'm either going to respond with my fleshly default settings or I'm going to respond in the Spirit. And thereby I can respond with meekness, with love, with gentleness, and the Spirit of God. Okay, so when I face a temptation, I need to recognize it, and I need to stop, all right? So we walk up and we find something broken on the floor, right? And we're tempted to, for anger or frustration or what have you, if we have kids in our home, probably. You know, otherwise there's been an earthquake. But sometimes we have earthquakes every day, throughout the day. But no, when we find something that just, it's a, right away, how are we going to respond? Are we going to respond with anger or with gentleness and meekness? And so we need to stop. Maybe it's something you see. You're driving along and, you went to Bismarck or Minot or something, and there's something you see that's a temptation. something corrupt, something, you know, to buy, what have you, that it's like, stop, all right? And I should look at some of those. I'm going to just share those verses, okay? Matthew 26:21. The Bible says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." The spirit is willing. You may really want to serve God. You may really want to do right. But the Bible says the flesh is weak. So what does God say? Watch and pray. Watch and pray. We need to be vigilant. And so Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So I need to stop. Then secondly, I need to think. Think. All right? So we're facing some kind of temptation. And this is going to happen every day of our life. Absolutely every day of our life. In fact, multiple times. Oftentimes they come in small temptations, and we can get way off track in a hurry. And so when we're tempted, big or small, we need to stop. We need to think. Can you do those actions with me? All right? Stop. Think. What do I need to think? I need to think that 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." So, I'm facing a temptation. I need to recognize, hey, this is common. This is common, right? This isn't some new thing. And it's something with God's help I can overcome. It's something I don't have to enter into. I don't have to do this, right? So I'm stopping. I'm facing this temptation. Whoa, I need to think. God has the victory for me if I'll take it. I can respond to this very frustrating situation with the grace of God. I can if I access God's grace for it. If I walk in the Spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of my flesh. And so in every situation, how am I going to respond? Two choices on the shelf: pleasing God, pleasing self. My default lusts, or walking in the Spirit. God will help me to do right. He'll help me to say the right things. He'll help me to respond right. So sometimes we find ourselves, if it's saying something, sometimes we find ourselves having said something. Maybe we said something we shouldn't have said to our spouse, or something to someone else. And we say, and right away, you know, in our mind we get that conviction, I shouldn't have said that. Well, let's just deal with it right then and say, I'm sorry, I should not have said that. That was wrong of me. And right, we're humbling ourselves, we're choosing to obey God, we're choosing to do right. And we can say, you know, please forgive me, I shouldn't have said that. It wasn't right what you did, but I'm handling it in the wrong way, and I want to ask for your forgiveness. This is what needs to happen. Whatever. You know, we can move forward in handling the situation, but we need to stop and think. Galatians 6:8. The Bible says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So, facing temptation, we stop. Hold on. I want to serve God. All right, so how does God want me to respond? I need to think about that. How does God want me to respond? What does God want me to do? I need to recognize that if I live to my flesh, if I plant those seeds to the flesh, God says, you will reap corruption. God says also, if you sow seeds to the Spirit, you will reap life everlasting. Now, what does that mean? That's not talking about how to be saved, although if we yield to the Spirit, we will trust Christ and be saved, yes. But the fact of the matter, I'm already saved. I already have life eternal. But I have the opportunity to plant seeds that will be forever. They will give life forever. They will be eternal. They are eternal difference that they will make. And so I can walk in the Spirit. I can minister in the Spirit. I can serve in the Spirit. I can work in the Spirit. And we can see lasting results. We can see a harvest that is going to mean something forever. And so I want to live for the Lord. So when tempted, I'm going to stop. I'm going to think. And then I'm going to turn it over to the Lord. This is an important part of this. I'm going to turn it over to the Lord. A key passage for this is Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Let's notice verse 4. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So, God wants us to rejoice, right? Always. In everything, right? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So God wants us to have that joy and rejoicing in our attitude. Verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Moderation means a gentle, patient, or equitable disposition. And so it's the idea of moderation is a freedom from bias or favoritism. Really handling things in a just and patient manner. All right? And so God says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Wow. You know, I wonder, you think you and I would handle things different if we could physically see the Lord with us? I mean, do you think that we would, when we face a difficult, frustrating situation, that we would respond a little different if we knew Jesus was standing right next to us? You know? Would we laugh at the same jokes? Would we retell the same story? How would we handle truth? You know, would we yield to the temptation to lie? Or would we just want to do right because the Lord is with us? Well, the Lord is with us, even though with our physical eyes we can't see him. But the Bible says here in verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then God tells us what to think on. Think on these things. Things that are right, just, true, pure, lovely, of good report. That's what God wants us to think on. So, back to verse 6. The Bible says to be careful for nothing. So, we don't need to be anxious about things, but God does say we need to pray about everything. What's praying? Praying is talking to God about things, right? Turning things over to God. So, what does God want us to do? When we're tempted, he wants us to stop. He wants us to think, and he wants us to turn it over to him. Lord, how do you want me to handle this? Lord, this is really frustrating. Lord, I need your help, right? It's simple. They're simple steps. We need to do them. And every day of the week, we will have the opportunity to use these. And the difference is, am I going to follow my default settings? My lusts? Or am I going to purposefully walk in the Spirit? I can be saved and walk in the flesh. I can. That's my default. But I, by seeking the Lord, reading his word, walking with God, and seeking him in every situation of life, moment by moment. The Bible describes walking in the Spirit as a walk. You know, when you go walking, you take a series of steps. sometimes thousands, right, in a given day. Thousands of steps. Are we going to take steps to walk with God? One step after another. You know, the amazing thing is, it only takes one step to get out of step, right? To take a wrong step. Well, you take a bad step, you're walking uptown or something, you hit a hole or something, you're not paying attention. I mean, you can sprain your ankle just like that. Now, that's just a physical illustration, but the Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit. And the emphasis is on the little increments, step by step, step by step, walking with Jesus, walking in the Spirit, yielding to God. It only takes one step to get out of step, to walk in the flesh. We're just one moment away from either following the default setting of our old nature, our flesh, or continuing to walk in the Spirit. That's why it gets us, because it can happen so fast. We can have read our Bible and been seeking the Lord and wanting to do what's right. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So that's why we have to stop. Whoa, what I said just now wasn't good, or what I'm thinking, or the temptation I'm feeling. Whoa, Lord, what do you want me? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this? I need to think right. And so much more could be said there, but I need to turn it over to God. So those are the three parts. I'll add a couple here in a moment, but those are the three main aspects. Do them with me, okay? When I'm tempted, all kinds of different temptations out there, but when I'm tempted, big or small, stop. Think. Turn it over to God. And then I'd like to add another thing here of, what do you want me to thank you for? What do you want me to praise you for? Notice verse 6, we're in Philippians chapter 4. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So, it's important to thank God and to praise Him. You know, sometimes we're tempted with a temptation that says, you don't have what you need. You're missing something. Oh, come on over here. You know, you need to indulge in this. And we need to think, stop, think. I'm turning it over to you, Lord. What do you want me to thank you for? And we're getting our mind, notice what it goes down here in verse 8. It says, tells us what to think on. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever are pure, what are lovely, what are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, read those last four words. Think on these things, right? And so, you know, many times in a temptation, we will have already seen that temptation pass, right? Because we stopped, we thought, Lord, I want to serve you, I want to do right, how do you want me to handle this? I'm giving this to you, what do you want me to thank you for? Lord, you've been good to me, I'm thankful I'm saved, I'm thankful for how you've provided for my needs, I'm thankful for my spouse. Whatever, God will give us things to be thankful for, maybe in direct correlation to the temptation we're facing. Lord, I thank you for my children who broke my pretty vase, right? I'm right? Whatever the case is, I'm thankful for my boys who have taken my wrenches out in the dirt. Right? But we can say, we don't have to put that part, but I'm just saying, you know, maybe we're tempted, can't believe this. Hold on. Lord, I'm giving this to you. Thank you for my children. You know what? Help me to guide them. Help me to teach them. And then we can handle that situation. So, I know I have challenges in my life, and I know you will face challenges in yours. Yours are going to be a little different, although they're common to man. We all face challenges. There's none of us that are above temptation of all these different varieties. So we're going to stop. I'm going to think. I'm going to turn it over to God. Lord, I'm giving this to you. What do you want me to thank you for? What do you want me to praise you for? And we can get our mind on the Lord, seeking him. And so those are a few simple, but very helpful things. And with that, we will conclude this morning. Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, I know that your word is always meant to be used practically. Help us to recognize that we can have victory. There are only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Help us not to be driven by our lusts, by the default settings, but help us to purposefully, step by step, to walk in the Spirit. Help us to stop, to think, to turn it over to you, to thank and praise you. And Lord, I know that you want to give us help. You want me to walk with you, and you want to help me to do right and to respond right to the challenges of life. And I pray that you would help each of us to do that same, one step at a time throughout the day, in the thousands of steps we will take to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.